Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. I'm your host today, Beatrice, and today I'm joined with
Sagal at Sagale on Twitter,
Marva at Marva MSK,
Lauren at Lauren Coys,
Samantha at S4CK12,
and Tima at Teams_GH.
I hope all of you are excited today. We've got a lot to talk about.
Some of us.
Me and Lauren.
I'm not excited.
Let's start with the North London Derby, Lauren. How did that game go for you?
To be honest, as soon as I saw the team sheet, I knew how the game was going to go because we needed to be at our strongest 11, I think, to even get close to Arsenal. Mm-hmm. First half was unacceptable. The attitude and mentality, you can't approach a North London derby like you're playing pre-season. We were terrible. We were terrible. Like it was embarrassing. We were at home. Second half, we were better, but Ramsdale had a good game. And my goalkeeper, captain of the team for 10 years, number one for 10 years, and needs to go back to his home team, I think it's Nice or something, and enjoy your retirement couple of seasons. It's time to move on.
Nice is a nice place as well.
Exactly.
Beach vibes.
You know, you have nice time by the sea. There's a lot of Italian food there. Enjoy. Go across to Monaco. Go see the sights. Because it's his time in the Premier League is done. Lloris has recently retired from France, and I just think he's at the end of his career. He's made double the number of mistakes leading to goals than any other player in the league this season.
Is that
and
four?
And he costs us. Yes, yeah, four. And it just costs us. Like, you're the captain. I mean, it's like he's playing volleyball. He was... What is this motion?
It was like he was scared of the ball.
You know when you're like... as if he was going all fire, and you know, like it's just not good enough. And then you just put the team on the back foot; the confidence drops. Like we haven't been in good form. And then, you know, and then, Odegaard, no one wants to close him down. Lloris is look.
The words aren't coming out.
62,000 people in that stadium would have told you that guy's going to shoot. Lloris is like, oh, he just, yeah. So I just think they're really stupid goals. I mean, you know, Arsenal were a better team. They have more quality. But they're really stupid goals to concede. And when you look at Ramsdale and the saves that when his team needed him, he was there. And when our team needed Lloris, he said, I'm going to play for Arsenal today. So, yeah, I'm just frustrated because... You know, you never want to lose a derby. Like too much Arsenal fans, they'll stop messaging you. And 8 points clear. Like I'm gonna.
Not just Arsenal fans, the whole Gold Diggers chat.
Exactly. At Lauren.
So for me and Philippa. I know Philippa as well.
Spurs literally had one job.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it.
Yeah, but why are you relying on Arsenal?
Yeah,
exactly. Arsenal are being all your teams.
But this is why I've asked. What is the point of Spurs Football Club? If you can't even like try and say football. From, like, what is the point of Spurs even
okay,
existing?
Well, come out from 10th and rejoin the conversation and go and stop asking yourself then. Please, I don't want you asking us to do your job.
Cool, like, my club's in the mud, innit? I know about my club. My club is in the mud, but we'll get onto that. But, like, Spurs literally had one job. Like, Hugo Lloris, remember, a few seasons, top three keeper in the league. I didn't believe it.
Who said that?
A lot of people really thought that.
When
for
he
me.
First came into the league, I'm talking about the pre-Edison, the pre-Allison days.
He's always had a ricket in him. He's always had an error in him,
but, like, he's been a pretty consistent goalkeeper in the sense of now he is a liability, whereas previous seasons he would save Spurs on many occasions. He wouldn't be like an Edison or an Alisson where he's got something like spectacular in him in his distribution or anything like that, but he's a standard solid goalkeeper, can do what you need to do for a club of Spurs's size. And then it's like...
It's called you a small club, I don't know.
I'm not calling you a small club. I'm in no position to call anyone a small club. But now what's happening is it's not like, oh, he's got a real bad error in him, but then he's got an incredible save in him. It's just like error, but yeah, nothing
before
else.
It was, I would say it was one in every 10 good saves, the error came. Now we're down to one in five, one in two. And then you just think, there's no point. Like, you know, when goalkeepers make mistakes, they're glaringly obvious because you can see. So I'm not when I'm looking at Hugo comps, they're from 5 years ago. Like, we just have to move on. Like,
is it all on Lloris? Because I remember a period at United where De Gea was making all these mistakes, but it was mostly because we had a lot more pressure on us because we weren't playing well as a team.
This is when I said I saw the team sheet. You're telling me that Saka's there and we're playing Sessegnon and Longley and Eric Dier and even Romero, who needed to come off because it looked like he may have got a red card. Then you're looking at your bench and you're seeing Tanganga and Sanchez. Our defence is a shambles, and we've got some of our defenders have been there for 6, 7, 8 years. You're not one of the best in the club, you're useless, and now they have no resale value, and Danny Levy won't sell them. And I look at, you know, no team can be consistent when your defense is that bad. And it's just a culture of failure that is now at the club, which, and this is what I blame Conte for the approach. But when you're talking about defenders that he has to choose from, imagine picking a team for a North London derby and you're like, oh, should I play Eric Dier or should I play Davinson Sanchez for a North London derby? do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, we've got no one else. Like, it's just a shambles. We haven't invested in the defence and it really
you
shows.
You got Longley came in the summer.
Pardon?
Longley came in the summer. Yeah,
that's not investing.
On loan, because we couldn't get any of Conte's first choices. So he come in the summer. And he couldn't even get, and look at Barcelona, how many players they bought over the years. He can't even get into that team. He was just a cast off, and we got him because he was on loan and he was cheap. If he was of quality, he would have cost money, and that's why we don't buy anybody.
I'm hearing a lot of criticism for the players, but like, you can't convince me that Conte couldn't have done better in that game.
He's not.
You know,
he's
it's
not
always
a magician.
The defenders are bad, and this person is rubbish, and this person's rubbish. But when it comes to Conte, they're kind of this kind of, he can do no wrong.
Oh no, he can do wrong. I'm sick and tired of how we approach the game. I really am sick and tired. But at the same time, Eric Dier, Ben Davies, Davinson Sanchez, Jafet Khanganga, they reached their ceiling 5 years ago. They have been bad for 5 years. If we want to go and say, oh, we're going to challenge for a league title or we're going to play against the top four, would you guys take any of those defenders in your teams?
No.
I mean...
So the relegation candidate would take the players. That's the quality. So, and I've seen those players play under Jose Mourinho. I've seen them play under Pochettino.
And they don't lose
Nuno.
Against Arsenal at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
This Arsenal team haven't been that good in 10 years. We're playing against the better team, but these players have not improved under 5 different managers. They just need to get moved on. And I can't, when I see the same players make the same mistakes and the same bang average or poor defending because they're just rubbish, I look and think, I don't blame Conte for not improving players that cannot be improved. If you're rubbish, you're not a young talent who can be developed, you're just rubbish, and they have no resale value. So even players like Ndombele and Lo Celso, they're still Spurs players. They're on loan. We can't even get rid of our players, let alone then we have a wheeler dealer, yellow sticker shopping owner who won't buy anybody. Let me calm down. I'm tired of the way that the club is run.
But look at it from Levy's perspective. Why is he going to invest in a squad if the manager doesn't even want to like commit to the team and sign the contract?
But one of them has to move, and it should be Levy.
Why should it be Levy?
Because he's had enough time for a long time, and what has he done?
His tactics do not work. Like you have got, like from Jose, if Jose Mourinho, one of my friends was like,
why are you going to buy why are you going to buy players for a manager who doesn't want to commit to the team?
Because it's Conte or you're going to be 10th.
Arguably, Conte got the most backing of Spurs managers ever got.
Yeah, he needs more backing.
He didn't get his first options.
Conte
needs to sign the contract. But it can't just be one transfer window.
Yeah.
As a Spurs fan, I've seen the same pattern. When Pochettino said, if you're going to build a new house, you have to replace the furniture inside. That's my favourite thing that he's ever said. And we've got a brand new house and we've literally just got the 10-year-old furniture still inside. Mm. And he didn't do it with Pochettino when he was three or four
players away. That was the moment to do it.
From winning a league. He didn't do it with Jose, Nuno Espirito Santo, who was there for a few months. It's been, he's never backed the manager properly.
Can we go back to the statement that he was three or four players away from winning the league?
Pochettino's team?
Do you truly believe that?
Yeah, in the season that we finished
serial
second.
Losers, three or four players away.
All right, we're not actually going to get into that because it's going to go on forever.
I'm just going to highlight for our listeners, isn't it? That it's just
all right, let's move on to the Arsenal perspective. Sammy, how did that game go for you?
I'm not going to lie to you. I was actually shook before the game started because this is Spurs away. The atmosphere is always crazy, and as we've already said, we haven't won away in how many years. So obviously I was a bit like, do you know what, let me see how the game even goes. And we started off just so well. I was actually so impressed with the fact that we just kept pressing. Odegaard and Partey were just having fun in the midfield. There was just so much space that they could occupy. And as Lauren said, no one wanted to close them down. They had plenty of strikes that they made. If that goal went in,
I would have lost my head. I would have changed the channel. That would have been enough.
The goal. I was like, damn. And then obviously Odegaard's goal was also just amazing. And the fact that we ran the show for the first half, but then I knew second half, that's when Spurs start coming alive. We've seen it before in other games. And then you could tell that in that second half, they woke up a bit. And the only threat that we really had was Kulu. And I'm not gonna lie, Kane and Son were just missing the whole time. He was the only threat that we had. And he made plenty of chances, but Ramsdale really saved us in that second half because we should have been 3-4-0 up. And Nketiah should have scored twice, but let's not worry about that.
14.
Shut up. But overall, I thought that we held it down quite well because a lot of the times in previous seasons, Arsenal would have just been complacent and just let 2-3 goals happen and we would have lost that game. But we actually held it down. Which I'm really happy with.
Are Arsenal fans going to finally say that they are leading the title race? Because you guys have been scared to say
the top
it.
Come on.
You know.
Come on, Sam, we want to hear
it. I'm just enjoying
Ask the question.
What kind of imposter syndrome is this?
Do you know what? I feel like I would only say that we're in a title race once we've played everyone once.
Oh my god.
And the thing is that we haven't
every day
played,
they just are
we not on, are we not on 18 or 19?
But they haven't played City.
We haven't even played City.
That's the only one
they haven't played Everton either, and that's the one that's really.
Once we play City, then at least I'll be a bit more confident in thinking, yeah, do you know what? We could take it all the way. Because City are the kind of team, they'll be quiet for like 2-3 games. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it's a 10 game stretch of just pure wins.
If you're not going to like say that you're in a title race, can you at least now say that you back Arteta?
Oh, please. You know what? I can't be doing this. I can't be doing this. See all this? I just want to get me. Leave me.
Do you know what? I can't lie. If Arsenal lose the title from here,
this is it. There's nothing you can say that will make us not get onto you.
Exactly. You might as well
so
be big. If I was in your position, we're winning. I'm not saying, one game at a time. But
I'm saying it.
I think there's a different, like, what's the aim or the, if you're top by 8 points, what is the aim and the ambition for the rest of the season?
To win the league.
To maintain that position. Therefore, yeah, you're in a title. I'm not saying you have to acknowledge that you're leading it because, okay, I haven't played City. But your aim is to maintain your position, which is at the top of the table. That's a title race.
Their aim is to connect the heart and the head, or the heart and the brain. Is that what you said?
What did you say? Oh, when he's rubbing the hands.
No, but I think, honestly, if Arsenal don't win the league from here...
What are you saying? Is it just, it's a failure?
It's a big word, but I work. It's a word I like.
It's
a word I like. Because 8 points clear in January, you should be bringing that home. City or not. City, I'm sure we're going to get onto it. City's form right now. They got Tottenham next.
You heard Pep. He said he doesn't care about the league. So
they don't look capable of going on a 10-game run. Yeah. City don't look capable of doing that. That's what scares me.
Yeah. And I feel like Arsenal, with their form, you guys are capable of doing that.
With an 8-point gap, even if you were to lose both games against City, you'd still be ahead.
But they won't. Even then, but, you know, we're literally one injury away from a depleted
form. So was everyone else.
But the thing is, though, you at least, see with City, they can have one injury, but their squad depth has got the quality that they need to keep a run going. Whereas with Arsenal, I can't necessarily go, if say, for example, Odegaard goes, who's replacing him?
That Vieira guy, right?
But Vieira is not the quality that Odegaard is right now. Odegaard is on a different level. Vieira, if we give him a good run of games, I'm sure he could, you know, at least help the team, but he's not going to do what Odegaard does on the pitch.
Do you think you're getting someone in the transfer window? Maybe an attacker?
As long as Chelsea don't get in for the minute, then...
Maybe like Ukrainian winger?
It's working, isn't it? It's working.
God. And I thought 10 minutes ago, you were like, why do we sign him?
Yeah, like, there's no point.
Go yesterday, I said...
That guy is not happy to be there, though. He has not smiled in any of
those.
He
doesn't
Chelsea.
Need to smile as long as he's not in Arsenal. Like, apparently, I saw The Independent had a headline. Apparently, Arsenal and other Premier League clubs are so pissed off at Chelsea because they're just in all of business.
Just,
I can't lie, Chelsea are back.
That's not good.
Listen, go toe to toe and get your signing, innit? It's not our fault that Arsenal can't close the deal. They were chasing this guy since the summer. So if you can't close the deal, you're like 5 million away. Whose fault? That's not Chelsea's fault. That's their fault.
Team, how many goals do you expect him to score this season? Because when a certain other £100 million attacker was bought for another team, you said there must be an expectation for the amount of goals he should score. So we have half the season left. How many goals should, what's his name, Modric score?
Modric isn't actually, the first outlay is not £100 million.
It's 95 million, 100 million. It's the same thing.
Chelsea have paid 62 million.
But everyone pays
16 million on add-ons. So it's actually a 62 million pound player. How many goals has Antony scored? How many goals has Antony scored?
Everybody plays with add-ons. Okay, cool. Nobody pays 100 million pounds. Here you go. You know,
some of us are capable.
It's always installments, right?
He's on Glamour, though.
You said Antony has to be in double-digit goals.
And how many is Antony?
He's not far off double-digits.
I'm just asking, how many
he's not. I don't know exactly, but he's not far off double-digits. I can check it.
I would say half the amount that he scored.
Let's
check how many
goals Antony's on. No, you said...
Double digits in the Prem?
He's no double-digits overall. So this Modric guy should at least get, what, 10?
No, it's half the season. It's half the season.
So 10?
No. Half the season, so he should get maybe 5.
Nah, I don't think... I don't know what number you said for Antony.
The same number that Antony scored.
Whatever you said for Antony...
He's had a whole season.
No, we're halving that number.
I'm really trying to find Antony here. Where is he? Oh, that's the wrong Antony.
Anyway, we're going to move on to the Manchester derby. Sagal.
Yes, yes.
When you first saw the lineup, how did you feel?
Oh, by the way, Antony's on 3 Prem goals.
Okay, I didn't say Prem, I said in all competitions.
We're moving on from that conversation.
How do I feel about the lineup? The lineup was an interesting one because I remember going into the game, I was very nervous with a midfield of Bruno and Eriksen and Casemiro. I thought, you know, the last time Eriksen had played in the Manchester derby, he was just ran through. So I was very, very happy to see Fred playing in the midfield and Bruno out wide. So when I looked at the lineup, I was definitely happy. Then I saw City's lineup. You know, Pep went with all his trusted guys. He had Foden, he had Mahrez, he had De Bruyne, he had Bernardo Silva. So I felt like we were in for a long night. but I was, you know, pleasantly surprised.
I saw a lot of complaints about Malaysia particularly, because everyone thought, you know, he's quite weak.
Do you know what I really like about Ten Hag is, like, if you're on form, he will keep you. And Shaw has showed some consistent form at left centre-back. So there's no reason to put Martinez back in from the World Cup straight away when Shaw's been, like, basically playing out of his skin in that position. And I know people are really nervous about Malasia, but I think he did a good job. And he showed, like, why the manager has trust in him.
I thought Wan-Bissaka had quite a good game as well.
No, Wan-Bissaka had a very good game.
He's really improved.
Yeah. Like, he really has.
He's fighting for his place.
He's fighting for his life. He's kept it because Delo was really good before him.
Yeah.
So he's
come
in and to keep his spot means he's been amazing.
And it shows real like professionalism, because he was literally like, no one even knew where he was, but you didn't hear anything. Yeah, we hadn't seen him all season. You didn't hear anything about his camp. You didn't hear any, oh, Wan-Bissaka's trying to leave, or Wan-Bissaka's unhappy with his
minutes. Didn't do a Piers Morgan interview.
Didn't do no interviews, no nothing. And he got his chance and he proved why he should be playing.
Let's speak about Rashford for a moment. So he had an amazing chance in the first half. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that?
There was the two chances. There's the one that he should have, I feel like he should have squared the ball to Martial, and there was the one that he ran into Edison. So the thing with Rashford is that he's never going to be, even though he's in the best form of his life, he's never going to be like very clinical. So it always takes him a few chances. So I knew like if he had another one that eventually he would score, but he should have squared the ball on the first one, definitely.
I thought he should have just taken a shot.
Do you think he should have shot?
Like earlier,
possibly,
Edison was way off his line.
Yeah, I don't know what Edison was doing.
Edison is a midfielder in a goalkeeper shirt. So I think as a City fan, you're going to have to accept that sometimes he goes walkies.
Exactly.
He's a good goalkeeper and he's got good distribution, but sometimes he's going to leave his goal and it will be open.
Yeah.
Is this when he came out and then, what's his name? Is it Akanji that had saved his back, essentially?
Yeah.
And you're just thinking there was no need.
So that's Edison has that in
him. He's a midfielder. Yeah. Sometimes he just wants to change position. You know,
it
is what
it
is.
Anyway, back to Rashford. When he went down, everyone was literally shaking. Like, oh my God. But do you think he actually played through that injury in the second half?
I don't know what they did to him at half time. I don't know who rubbed his leg at half time. But he, even when he came back, you could see that he was definitely still, there was still a bit of an injury. But he decided to play through it. And it shows, like, you know, the commitment that Rashford has. But.
But we've had like a history
The difference is we have a real manager, and I trust this manager won't play our best player through injury. Unlike the I feel like if Ten Hag thought he was like next, like for example, Crystal Palace in midweek, if he feels like Rashford's injured, he's not going to play him.
Yeah, that's
he's
true.
Not. You know, Bruno. You know, Ollie would play the same players consistently, no matter what happened. If they were injured, if they had one leg, if they were out of form, he'd play the same players. So I don't think Ten Hag would do the same.
There was no way Rashford was going to go off in that. Yeah, it's the Manchester derby. He's in the form of his life.
Because the way he like hit the floor in frustration, I thought
it's game over.
When you're in that kind of form. And you know that you can help your team out.
Yeah.
And you think, you know what? I can survive the next 45 minutes. Don't worry. You're going to fake an injury. You're not going to fake an injury. You're going to fake that you're fine. You're good. Even if you're in severe pain. There's always a way to make it happen.
The risk paid off though. So
Paid off for sure. Mm-hmm. So what happened with City?
Well, Manchester United's goal, she was this. I don't understand.
No, I agree.
I have receipts. Let's get into
this,
right?
Are you ready? Do you want to go first?
No.
PGMO.
Let's talk about this, right? A similar decision has actually happened before.
Yeah.
So 2017, Arsenal-Chelsea FA Cup final.
Was it Sanchez?
Yes. This has happened before. So Aaron Ramsdale in that game was offside.
Not Aaron Ramsdale.
Oh, sorry. Ramsey.
Aaron Ramsey.
He was running towards the ball, and then Alexis Sanchez came and took the ball and shot, and it was a goal. And that goal stood because although the linesman had already put up the flag to say, oh, it was offside, the ref ran towards him and said he didn't touch the ball, so therefore he didn't interfere with play. And that's how
he didn't touch the ball. Aaron.
Yeah, he didn't touch the ball in that game. Although the ball literally was right in front of him.
Were the defenders around in that situation?
Yes, they were all around.
I don't agree with it.
If such a decision was able to stand 5 years ago, what's the difference?
Okay, well, can I bring up an example?
Because
this one hits hard. There was an Everton United game. Do you know what I'm going to talk about? A few years ago, there was an Everton United game. It was 1-1. In the last minute, I think Calvert-Lewin took a shot. You'd already fouled Sigurdsson, but the penalty didn't get given because he'd like
already taken the shot. So Sigurdsson's on the floor. Do you remember this example? Then Calvert-Lewin takes a shot. It comes off Maguire, goes in, and they disallowed it because they said Sigurdsson, even though he sat down, but he's in front of De Gea, and they said it's interfering with play.
But we've seen that a lot because it's the view of that.
But he wasn't in the line. Either way, people are saying he is interfering with play. He didn't touch it.
Akanji goes to defend as if Rashford is about to take that. As
even the way Edison comes out.
Edison's coming out to save Rashford.
Can I just ask a question? Who is the head of the, was it PM?
Howard Webb's the new one.
It makes sense. Everything now makes sense.
Happened 5 years ago. And 5 years ago...
The rules haven't changed the offside rules in that regard, like what interference of play means. They haven't changed what that means. Look. According to FIFA, back then, let me just read this out, they said in 2017, simply running towards the ball doesn't amount to being involved in active play. The law states that a player is not committing an offence by simply being in an offside position or even in the same area as active play. FIFA summarised the interfering with play law, saying that you can only do so by playing or touching the ball, passed or touched by a teammate. Mm. Rashford did not play or touch
the ball. Can we have the same energy when it's not United with all of these?
No.
This wasn't United. I'm just giving it as an example as what FIFA said 5 years ago.
I just think that law... The rest of the law is not written by footballers.
You look at
the way that the players moved. How is that not interfering with play?
No. I think it's one of those ones where there's an issue with the rule, but it is the rule. Do you know what I mean? So the rule is that he wasn't. But of course, anybody that's like played the game would realise that Akanji was kind of distracted by Rashford and probably would have got to the ball before Bruno if Rashford had not been there.
Edison would have saved Bruno's shot. I mean, if Rashford wasn't there, they would have... And that's why I think, yes, the rule needs to change because that whole play would have been defended differently if Rashford was not there. But also, so if that's not interfering with play, I don't know what is.
No, I completely agree with you, but I'm saying the ref actually made the right call based on the rules. But the rules need to change to take into consideration situations like this. Yeah.
It's a shame because I think if that equaliser doesn't come, I don't know if United win that game. I don't know if they come back in time.
But I'm not trying to hear a game in which City had one shot on target, which was the goal.
No,
I think it could have been.
We had more shots on target, a higher XG. Everything said that we should have won that game. So
with the help of Howard Webb.
Okay, so you know with the refereeing decisions, we always know like it can go either way, and it has gone either way. That's what was called having a home crowd.
You get a lot of decisions at Old Trafford.
To be fair,
I don't really know. Because I've seen multiple times where like players have fouled De Gea, but the goal's given because De Gea was being soft.
City themselves, they've had so many decisions in their favour.
No one's discounting the fact that City haven't had decisions, but United get a lot of decisions at Old Trafford.
What decisions? What decisions?
This season, I'm saying we haven't really had any decisions.
I want to see if we go back historically to compare to when Henry was refereeing, compare to Martin Berg, all of them, remember those two years where United got a penalty like every single game because they were penalties.
Can we just talk about one person? Sorry, that's not United.
A player.
Where has Haaland gone?
Missing. I remember when we were on the pod when I said that Kane would score just as many goals in that Man City side, or if not more. Yeah. You were like, no. I told me that my opinion was not valid. Haaland is a poacher, as in he needs those chances to be provided for him. Otherwise, he's not scoring. He's not involving himself in the play. And I think City as a team, they're very much used to that. They create chances differently. They're not used to having an out and out striker. Kane would have been a better fit for that Man City side, but unfortunately Daniel Levy's not selling his biggest asset.
When it comes to Haaland, I just want to say one thing. Rafa Varane, a certain goal digger decided to call Rafa Varane the handbag of Sergio Ramos.
Who said that?
Shy Carter called Rafa Varane the handbag of Sergio Ramos. Shy Carter, I want an apology that's written. She also said that Konate should start ahead of Varane. Did you see Konate yesterday? Did you guys actually watch Konate? Varane's not a leader. 5 times Champions League winner is not a leader, please.
But I would say that respectfully, Haaland's blip didn't start. I don't think it started with the Man United game. I think he's been like that for the last.
But
two,
I think also like, yeah. But I also think our expectations of
the
him.
Top teams, he hasn't really scored.
Because
anyway.
City are not creating the chances in the same way they were, because they're not used to playing with a with an out and out number nine, and Haaland is not going to drop deep and get involved in play.
Yeah. But he did.
No, but there were so many moments where he was pointing, give the ball to me, play it here, play it in Spain.
Because they're not used to that team.
But I don't know about that, because it's. I don't think it's that different of him popping up at the back post as Sterling popping up at the back post. They've always played in that way. The problem is right now they're not even getting to that point of getting good crosses in. They were really sloppy against United. Like, I've never seen them to that level where there were some moments of absolute quality where Rodri glides past three players and then just like played it out.
But I think they had a lot.
I've never seen that.
I think
that
had
City.
A lot to do with us. Like, it was very narrow. They were
very compact. They were doing that last game.
And
they
had a lot to do
with us. Everyone got a point against them. Beat them 2-0.
Everton got a point against them.
Exactly.
They've been sloppy. Why couldn't Chelsea beat them? You played them twice in
1 week. But to be honest, that Chelsea game.
Yeah.
They had to make substitutions to make that work.
They could have made substitutions.
Like, Haaland was a lock
us.
On that in that game as well. He didn't do anything in that game.
But I think they're not playing to Haaland's strength. They should have, like, there were so many opportunities they could have done the ball in behind. And I think Haaland would beat Luke Shaw in a race. Like, he probably would bully Luke Shaw, but they kept on going back and forth to sideways.
Side.
It made no sense.
Do you know who else is going through a bit of a blip? Is KDB. He was awful.
Apart from the assist.
Yeah, but he's not running games.
No, but
they're used to
it. He has spread on him.
Literally, like Eden Hazard style. Like, do you remember?
KDB has been in a blip since when he went to the World Cup. And he hasn't.
And he said they're too old.
Nah, he was true. He was right, though.
So what do we make of Pep's comment where he said, I don't care about the
Pep is a drama.
He's just a liar.
I don't care
him
about
and Klopp.
He's
been
drama.
He's
been
drama.
Yeah,
he's
just
been drama.
It's like, just please, you have quality around you. Mm. I don't even know what the issue is at City at the moment, whether the players have just given up or they're kind of like, are the tactics just not right for us anymore? As you said, Lauren, before, they haven't played with a striker, in that type of striker, in a very long time. Obviously, Aguero, he was very much involved in playmaking as well, which is why he cannot be replaced. So now it's like, how do we play games anymore? How do we actually take the upper hand? Because against Southampton, all my days, they were so sloppy. And even the chances that Haaland had, they weren't even coming from the team itself. They were just mistakes.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like morale has dipped. So. Like Haaland had so much hype, and no one was talking about the other players. It's like they've got offended or something, and it just doesn't. It doesn't seem like they're playing for each other. And I don't know. Maybe Sterling contributed more in the dressing room than we realised.
Even Bernardo Silva, like where are all the other players?
Yeah, it just feels
I do think though as well. They're like they sold Zinchenko and they didn't really get fullback cover.
Killers
I think that's been like defensively because
Cancelo's been scary as well.
Yeah, and then they've just been playing Cancelo exactly, and then even like Walker's getting on a bit. Like I still really rate him as a player, but he's quite injury prone. And they didn't really get that cover in at fullbacks. I think that's contributed. But I think was it Gundogan came out saying like, there's something missing in this team right now. I don't know if it's complacency. I don't know.
And
it feels like that. It feels like when they get it right, they get it very right. Mm. But it has to be so precise in order for them to get it right.
Yeah.
That when one of them's off their game, it just it's not clicking. Yeah.
Mm.
And they don't really have that real plan B. They just play in the same way.
I'm scared. Watch them go win the Champions League now.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, we're saying all this now. Watch them
I'm
the
scared.
Next few
because
games
you know that they
winning.
Still have the quality and the capacity within them to get it right.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think you're right. They're the plan B players or the players that are coming off the bench.
Mm.
They're not changing the way that they were playing. Whereas before, I think when they had the likes of Sterling or they could, in a way, be more direct, play more balls in behind, and they're not doing that with Haaland, but then he starts the game. So it just feels like when you're bringing on like a Foden for a Grealish or Grealish for Foden, they're kind of performing the same role. So the way the team is playing isn't changing as much as last season when he used to roll the dice and put his subs on.
Tima, I just want to get, your opinion of how Man United played.
I think they had patches in that game.
Mm.
There were moments where I was just like, Mangala like, looks scary, as it, and not in a good way. Mm. And in moments where I thought, oh, you played decent football. But I feel, I think if City stepped up one more gear, I think Man United would have been in trouble. In my opinion, I think I agree with, was it Lauren, you said, if that fake goal wasn't given, Man United wouldn't have equalised. I think having that equalising at that point gave you momentum to go and win the game. Because the shift in atmosphere at Old Trafford went from like basically resigning people resign themselves to a loss to then going forward. But one thing I will say about your manager is that
did you see what a real manager looks like?
Wow.
Like no, as in like
you know what I'm actually not gonna say.
As in every day you need to look at
to be fair, this is Potter's biggest hater.
I'm booking, and I was about to give you a compliment, but now I'm not.
Go on, Ten Hag. Compliment Ten Hag. Let's hear it.
I think people. I think a lot of Chelsea fans go on about what Arsenal are doing and Arsenal's way of thinking. I tweeted that actually look at Manchester United, because at the end of the day, I'm sure we're going to probably get onto Chelsea, but the same talk about people talking about the Chelsea squad was the same things that people were saying about Manchester United last season. These players are not good enough, get rid of them, we need to get basically sell a lot of them. Man United make, what, 2-3 signings? And that's a completely different squad. That's what I'm saying, that I think it's sometimes it's not about a clear out, it's about the philosophy of a manager and embedding that into a squad. Mm. As I said, we'll come on to Chelsea and I've got my receipts, I've got my notes on my phone. So, to be honest, Manchester United are not really my focus and they've never really been my focus. I take pot shots at Manchester United, but obviously my agenda is very strong in terms of North London. So if anyone else gets offended, if anyone gets the strays, it is what it is, isn't it? And I feel like Manchester United got a lot of strays. But yeah, like I think it's, you guys look like a team now. Taking out Maguire and Cristiano Ronaldo, who last season were basically beefing behind the scenes. It's interesting what happens when you take out those two big leaders from the team.
The thing that impresses me about United, and if you ask them to play in possession, they play in possession really well. Yeah. If you have to actually then tactically be defensive and say, okay, we're going to soak up pressure and play on the counter-attack, I'm watching United thinking, oh, they can do both. Usually it's one or the other, but I don't see Ten Hag has managed to coach these players that they can play both styles depending on the game and the opposition that they're facing. And that's what I'm a bit like...
I think they're getting like solid wins as well. Yeah. Like this isn't... They're up to what, third in the table... I don't know, actually, after Newcastle. But you're in a good position. But not only that, I'm like, you actually haven't got out of... you haven't hit the level that you probably can. Hold
up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, you're not there yet, yeah. But it just shows that it's a team that's just getting more solid, picking up solid wins.
Yeah.
And if Ten Hag can get them to that next level, then next season will be an exciting one for
you. I think.
This is about Martial. Do you think he's actually part of Ten Hag's plans?
Future plans? Probably not. No, but as in plans this season, yeah.
I feel like Ten Hag would have liked him to be part of his plans, but he's just not too injury prone for him to be long term.
Just not even just about injuries, but just generally, because obviously he got subbed at what, half time?
Yeah.
He wasn't fully fit anyway.
I think he was injured.
He shouldn't have started the game. I think he was injured. Dragged himself for the derby.
No, he got, they said he was fit that morning, but.
It is slightly worrying that our only informed attacker is Rashford, and then I guess Garnacho coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Martial has been poor. Sancho was found in Old Trafford for the first time in God knows.
Found? Oh my goodness!
Found? No. I
don't even want to laugh because I don't know like what he's going through behind closed doors.
I thought he must be going through something. Yeah, he must be. But he's not injured.
Now that he's seen, hopefully he'll be like transitioned back into the team and we can maybe see him against. I don't know what our game after Arsenal is. Whatever game that is, it'll be good to see him. But Antony hasn't really been performing. That well, Martial's been poor, Garnacho's been good, and Rashford's been good. So,
Weghorst, that signing, what do you make of that?
Do you know what I think? I think it's just a numbers thing. Like, a lot of our attackers are out of form. We can't just rely on Rashford, we definitely can't rely on Martial. So, we need some type of striker. It is worrying that we see like Chelsea able to get like players like Joao Felix, even though you know he's only going to be able to play like 10 games because he decided to get a red card in his first game. But and then we get Valt focus, like it's a bit like, but then I heard we're broke at the moment, so there's not really much we could do. So if he, it'd be good if he can like be someone off the bench. But I think my worry is like, I think he might start ahead of Martial. Like Martial doesn't pick up form real soon. Yeah, I think he'll start, which is slightly worrying. But
I mean, Ten Hag made him sound like there was talent there, so I'm just gonna trust him.
He was good. Do you remember in the World Cup?
That performance in the World Cup where he came off the bench and he drew
two goals, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, okay, the man, okay, he's on loan for Burnley and he had a very terrible time when he came to the Premier League, but I think it's a different approach. That for me is an out and out. The manager wants this player and for in the bracket of affordability, and they and United, the you know, the hierarchy of gone and got him. It's not been like, oh, let's go and get flashy Zlatan Ibrahimovic, even though he did well on the United shirt or whatever. It's not a huge massive name signing. It's just a case of Ten Hag's getting his way, whether it's a case of benching people if they're arriving late for meetings, getting contracts terminated because they're doing TV interviews.
There's
a level of discipline and respect that he seems to have, you know, achieved very, very quickly.
And we needed that discipline because our players were messing about.
Especially was messy.
Anyway, let's move on to Chelsea nicely. Hey. Timo, bring out your notes.
Mental notes, man.
Where do you
So, Chelsea won.
Do you want me to do cry?
Smiling a bit too much for one win in, what is it, 10 or something?
One win in 12. Second,
two wins in 12. So, how did that match go?
The match against Crystal Palace doesn't make a difference to me. Potter needs to leave my club.
No, can we start with the good stuff first? Like, you won.
Hopefully Potter leaves my club. We won. We won, but like, it wasn't a comfortable win.
Yeah.
Like, the whole stadium.
Palace had a lot of chances in that.
The whole stadium, you could feel the atmosphere.
Tense.
It's not a good situation. I'm happy for Havertz. I think he's got a lot of slander. On the timeline,
slander would imply that it's not true.
I think he's. There is a lot of players who deserve a lot of slander.
The dictionary out.
A lot of players deserve a lot of slander. But I think I'm happy for that he got his goal. I'm happy that we got our win. I'm happy for the team to actually put in an effort to try and maintain that win, and hopefully we can kick on. Am I hopeful that we're going to kick on? No. Do I think we will? No. But I mean, it's still good to win a football game.
Wow. It's got to this.
It's this level.
We're champions of Europe.
We still do have two Champions League trophies.
That's nice.
Carrying London. Yeah, it is.
We're not carrying anything about London.
But we are, because we've had two Champions League trophies. And
no, you're not.
Do you have
sorry. Do you not ask you to carry anybody? Focus on your own. We never asked you to carry anything.
Talk in London that you've been doing and losing.
Anyway, cool. But we didn't lose today.
Fourth best team in West London, I'm seeing.
Are you seeing? Are you hearing?
Okay, it's great. Fantastic. When you was in the trenches, what was you saying?
We're in the trenches. It's like, I want to say that.
We're in the trenches.
There's nothing else to do. I'm just glad that we won.
Do you think you're going to start pushing on from here?
No, I do not. Not with Potter in charge. No, I don't.
No, but you've made how many signings? Like, what is
it? Every day is a new one.
Every single day is a new one. Let me just look how go on a rant, because I've obviously been keeping this in for 6 weeks that whilst we've been on offline. Every single decision that Todd Bowley has made at this club has been the wrong one. From the moment, from the moment he signs. He basically bid for the club. I think he wanted revolution rather than evolution. I've said on this pod before, you do not get rid of Marina. She knows the transfer window. Whether you are not agreeing, seeing eye to eye, she doesn't have to be your girlfriend. She just needs to be able to teach you about how to make transfers. Like, you take that through the window, say at least stay until January window. Mm. You learn your craft off her, you get her connections, and then you tell her to fuck off. But you don't do that when you don't have, you don't know anything about football. It's mistake number one. Number two, Tuchel has made it very clear, I do not want to be involved in transfers. He said that last season. He said that he loved the setup because he wasn't involved in making those transfers. So why do you force this guy to do it? You forced him to do it, right? Then you're complaining that he doesn't want to talk to you. Listen, if I'm preparing my team at that time to try and win the league, I'm also not going to be wanting someone to be blown off my phone. When you're dating somebody, right? If someone is blown off your phone every day, do you think I'm going to be wanting to date that person?
No.
If my employer is not phoning me every day on Teams to make sure I do my job, I'm answering.
Yes. But yeah. after you told them, this is something that I don't really want to do.
We're in a cost of living crisis. If I don't want to do it, I'm going to do it.
I don't know about that.
Your job. It's a different relationship. That's his employer.
So he got rid of Tuchel. That's mistake number two. Mm. The biggest mistake is going from Tuchel to Potter. That is the biggest mistake. Because people will say everyone needs to like get over the Tuchel thing. It's not the Tuchel thing. I don't believe that Tuchel should have been sacked, but whatever, he's sacked. You just don't go for Potter. You don't go from Tuchel to Potter.
But no one was saying that at the time.
I was. What do you mean? I was.
A lot of the big Chelsea
Twitter accounts have blood on their hands. They wanted a Tuchel out. They want Potter in. They want us to believe that this squad is atrocious. They want us to believe in...
So you don't think the squad's an issue?
I think the squad is an issue, but do I think it's as big an issue as being made out? Absolutely not.
So if the squad's an issue and the hierarchy's an issue, then why is Potter the main issue?
Because Potter should be doing better.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you have... It's a mess upstairs.
But it's a mix of both, though.
Yeah. It's a mixture.
Even with all those problems, with that starting 11, whatever that starting 11 is, even if it's basically your B starting 11, because there are games that squad should still be beating their opposing team.
And that's my issue. The whole thing is a mess, right? I'm not going to say that it's not. From bottom to the top, probably down to the under sixes is a mess. Like, but at the same time...
15-year-olds catching strays in the
I just wanted to play football.
It's true. But do I think Potter should be doing better? Yes, I do. Mm. My standards as a Chelsea fan is not going to drop because Graham Potter is my manager. My standards are going to be the same standards. And I hold him to higher standards. And he's not even reaching my low standards.
So what's
he's
the just solution? Not
the solution
get
is...
Get rid of him halfway through the season?
But the thing is... You shouldn't have brought me in the first place. If you're going to do a project, you get a world-class manager to do that project.
Like who?
I think you go for the Germany manager at the time. I think at that time, you should have.
Hansi Flick.
I think even Poch would have been a better solution.
But Poch is not a world-class manager.
He's a better manager than Potter.
More of an experienced manager.
He's a better manager than Potter. For me, it's not going to end well. He's not going to lead us to anything. I think it was Brie last season... Brie Candlebury, not
Candlebury. Brie Candlebury.
She said about Arteta, she was wrong, that he's going to lead them to nowhere. I truly believe Potter isn't going to lead us to anything. He's not going to win a cup. He's not, like, he is by far the worst manager of the top six. By far. He's the worst.
That's fair, how long do you think he'll stay?
No, they're probably going to... Listen.
I think they won't sack him.
He's not going anywhere. That's his project. Yeah.
I think he'll at least get until the end of next season.
Yeah. Todd said
so you have 2 years of this.
It makes Todd look bad to sack Potter.
Yeah.
He said 16 million.
The man doesn't have shame. Exactly. The same way he's going to teeth other people's transfers will show that the man doesn't have shame. So he's not, like, same it's how it will look for him if he goes and has to sack him early. So I don't think he's going anywhere.
But he seems like he's backing Potter, bringing in all these signings.
I'm confused. This is where I don't understand Chelsea's strategy, because is it Potter saying, I want these players? Or Bowley is like, oh, look, I saw online so that Arsenal trying to buy them.
Chelsea have... Chelsea have completely changed the overhaul their transfer strategy. They're basically trying to be like Liverpool, like data-led. So they brought all these people in from Brighton, from Southampton, from Leipzig, to try and do data-led. So look at the positions that we need. Like look at Brentford, the data.
I get that, but who's signing them off? But are they saying, do you want this player? And Potter's saying yes or no.
But Potter's not going to be anyway. Much like
Klopp. So what data said bring João Felix in?
No, but like Klopp, like Klopp is not the main person with Liverpool. He will have a say, but he's not the main say. Mm. And that's going to be the same for Potter. He has a say whether he wants these players. And to be honest, Potter should probably be saying yes to everybody. But it's not going to be, if he says, oh, I don't like this player, but the data says, oh, actually, that player would be a fit, that player's still going to come to Chelsea. Mm-hmm.
Also, I can't imagine Potter saying no. Let's be real.
He's pathetic, man. Like, he thought he could come to Chelsea.
You're giving them too much credit. You're giving the Chelsea hierarchy too much credit, because no data said to bring Aubameyang in. I'm sorry.
That was before Aubameyang signing was Tuchel.
Okay, under Tuchel, fair enough, but then what's the point of getting, like, you have all these attackers, but then you're getting Modric and you're getting Nkunku and you're getting, you're looking at, what's his, Thuram. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
But it does make sense, because what did you say at the beginning of the show? Chelsea have 11 injuries. Pulisic.
They're not all for this season. I'm talking about like the transfer strategy for next season.
But obviously, attackers are going to leave. Like Ziyech is not going to stay. He's gone. Pulisic is probably going to be leaving at the end of the season as well. Aubameyang is basically halfway to Barcelona right now.
Yeah.
Like these players are not going
to
stay.
Also, they have the money to do it. Whereas, I actually think that Arsenal have made the right decision to not contest that because Arsenal aren't in the strong financial position that Chelsea are in the sense of, and clubs like that, you have to be careful and be smart. And that's what Arsenal have been doing recently. Like Everton, for example, would just spend the money when they could just because to do it. Whereas actually it's like, is this a smart investment for the future? Whereas I don't think Chelsea are thinking like that because they don't have to right now. It might catch up with them at some point if they don't get the results from it. Then financial fair play will take us down. But for now, while they can, their approach is just sign it. Why not?
Yeah, and also Chelsea haven't really been scoring that much goals. So do you think these signings will, increase the number of goals that you're putting out every game?
I remember last season, I'm gonna call her out. Bree said to me that Lukaku was the problem. And I remember sitting here and saying Lukaku was not the problem. And now Lukaku is gone, eating pasta.
Problems are still here.
Problems are worse.
No, they're worse. He's not gone. He's on holiday. He's still on loan.
Listen, Lukaku was not the problem. He scored 15 goals. Who in right now is gonna score 15 goals in his squad?
I'm not gonna lie, the fact that Havertz is even your top scorer.
Six
right
goals.
Now,
five.
Five.
Oh.
He's got
five.
Is it six?
Five
Prem
goals.
Five Prem goals.
He's got six. He's got six. He's got
today.
He's got six.
It wasn't today five?
No, six. Like it makes a difference.
My goodness, I was probably over five.
Every goal counts. But yeah, like I hope so. I think that's the problem with this Chelsea squad is that I think like with Potter it's also creating chances, not just scoring them, actually creating. I think obviously the last couple of games
it's not Potter that's going to go on the pitch and create these chances though.
Listen,
yeah, but it's Potter's tactics system and how they approach games and the patterns of play. Chelsea still do not look like they have any patterns of play
it's not just Potter that Chelsea under Potter that Chelsea have been struggling to score goals.
Yeah, they've even under Tuchel
Tuchel we had patterns of play.
I would still say Chelsea had an identity. Thank under you. Tuchel. It started to get a bit stale, obviously he was struggling, but I still don't I watch Chelsea now and I don't understand what Potter is trying to do in terms terms exactly. of how they approach the game.
And people want us to trust the process. What is there to trust? Give me something to like hold on to. There is nothing. This man looks like he hasn't slept in 6 months on the sand.
He's under
his backroom stars look like they sell cars on the side. And you want me to hold on to the process?
Do you think it's helpful for the like Stamford Bridge every day to be singing for Tuchel? To be singing like he's gone. He's not coming back.
So you want to
back the manager? Clearly Potter's not become a bad coach overnight yet. If he was a good coach at Brighton, he will be a good coach at Chelsea.
But no, that's not guaranteed.
Given the time and
that's
if given
guaranteed.
The players. You want to be crying about the ex that left? Like Tuchel's gone.
100%.
He's not coming back.
Ex is gone. Trust the process.
There's nothing to trust.
Trust
I have process. Nothing. He's not giving me anything. This is the
but
problem.
But how he hasn't been there for that long for you?
It's been 6 months.
Okay, so you think it's okay for like no matter what you think of Chelsea, a big club, to go 11 games without winning?
It happens.
What Lennon won? Sorry, one win in 11 games. That's not good enough.
It happens.
Two in 12. That's not good enough.
He might turn it around. With the new signings that you've made.
My guy is like, the boys gave a lot of effort today.
He's the type of manager that encourages. That's not a bad thing.
Tony's never shouted at them. Yeah. Are you mad?
But the problem is that...
I want some energy for
Potter
the players.
Potter going into Chelsea. Chelsea's identity of how they approach and what their managers are, they're big personalities, they are happy to talk to the press, they'll tell players about themselves. And I think that is what the Chelsea culture became. And then it's a case of, oh, you can win a trophy, but if you start badly you get sacked. And I think there's now a difference because Potter is just he has a different personality. He is like a go on guys, let's keep going for the next one, which is fine. That will work at certain clubs. I don't see it working at Chelsea because the fans' expectation of what they want from a manager, Potter is just the opposite of that. And I don't see how the perception of Potter, how he's going to change himself unless he starts dressing differently, talking differently.
But he did. He came in, he had his little shape up, his little pony neck, and he thought he was a Chelsea manager. It's harder than that, sweetheart. It's harder than that. And you say you to come for the play. If I start on the players, I honestly think you will have to call the ambulance because
I want to hear some energy from the players.
Listen.
Because half of them need to go.
I don't know.
That should even be staying is Silva. Thiago Silva is awesome.
The rest of them are awful. Kepa needs to go. Mendy needs
Kepa
to go.
Kepa has been good.
Koulibaly.
Kepa's been good.
Needs to go.
She said,
making saves.
I think you said that Koulibaly was a good signing. I think I remember that.
I thought he was.
Because the product that we watched at Serie A is not the product that has come to this league.
But we could tell though. I could tell. But I remember when we were linked to him, I was like, no.
No, he left and Napoli are now at top of the table.
I thought he would be a good signing, but he's not. He's obviously proven that he hasn't. He needs to adapt to the Premier League. Serie A is a very slow league. That's why him and J5, Jorginho, excel. They excel in those leagues, but they can't excel here. Mm. You know what I mean? Like,
there's also someone else you're not talking about.
Who?
Who?
Listen, there's so many people.
Were they campaigning for Jorginho and Ballon d'Or not that long ago?
So many of them. What
someone else who is not suited to the Premier League, that was your striker.
Aubameyang.
Lukaku.
Oh yeah. But actually, he scored 15 goals last season.
He still wasn't suited to the Premier League.
No, he did it for Everton.
And West Brom.
Everton was
and
West Brom. Oh,
well, those don't count. The club's too small. The filter's been applied.
Listen, we were quite good back then.
There's a lot of players that need to be sold. But as I said, evolution, not revolution. You're not going to get rid of 9 players in a transfer window. Mm. Evolution.
Yeah, he's tried slowly, to do too much too quickly.
Way too quickly. Mm. And it's like, Todd, you're not even like, I think he thinks he's smarter than he is. Like, this isn't, like, football is a very unique sport. What you do in baseball, cool, is not going to necessarily work. And these prison sentence contracts, bruh.
Eight and a half years. Do you know how much can change in 8.5 years?
7 years. Because the thing Harry is, Kane. I don't understand. Like, okay. Well, I was going to use Chelsea examples, like Baba Rahman and Bakayoko and all those signings that don't work out. And then you're trying to loan them every single season to run down their contracts. It's a lot. But all of the new ones that have come in are like 7 years plus.
He deserves it for signing that. I'm so sorry.
But I've got to say that. One thing I don't understand is why Arsenal are so obsessed with us beating you to the Ukrainian. Like, you guys are top of the table. Like, why are you so impressed?
He was twerking for them. He was like, great coach, and doing all of this.
He was doing way too much. He was doing so much.
He was actually begging.
And he was begging for it. He was literally on his knees.
But obviously he wasn't begging that hard because now he's at Chelsea.
Yeah, but he didn't want to go.
He didn't have to go.
No, but Shakhtar only accepted one offer. Exactly. Like, they didn't accept the Arsenal offer. It was either move to Chelsea or stay there.
5 million.
I think it's the structure of the deal in terms of what they'll get per season in terms of it was more competitive than what Arsenal were offering. Yeah, obviously
Todd said, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to give you what you want. But I think Arsenal... I think even 95, they were just pushing it. I think they had a limit of what they could spend, and the negotiations were going on for how long?
But when Rafinha left Leeds agreed a deal with Chelsea. He said no, he wanted to go to Barcelona. And Barcelona was less money.
He knew Barcelona were going to come in for him.
Though. But Arsenal did come in for him.
So then eventually he had a choice between two offers. Mudryk only had a choice to either accept Chelsea or stay there.
Because Arsenal was just there. Arsenal literally there. If he wanted to go to Arsenal, he would have been at Arsenal.
You have to negotiate with the club. The offer has to be accepted first.
They said 100 mil, that's it.
He could have held out. He could have held out, if that's my guess.
Then he would have been stuck there for another 6 months.
He wanted to move to the Premier League more so than he wanted to go to Arsenal, which is why he's taken this Chelsea offer, because it was the only one that he had.
His agent probably said, look, this is the done deal. You have to do it all.
The agent fee must be huge, because 8.5 years...
All I'm saying is that Chelsea temp still have a big pulling power.
Chelsea's wallet has a pulling power.
The Premier League has a big pulling power.
Final question, Tima.
Put her out, yes.
Now that you're temp, do you expect to stay temp for the whole season?
Probably, with Potter in charge. And he probably thinks that's a good job.
even we didn't finish temp.
Okay, if you finish
temp
this season,
Chelsea finished temp before, then they won the league next
season. Are you finishing temp again?
Conte won the league after finishing temp.
I think that's an unfair question, because I don't know what the ins and outs are going to be.
Okay. But you have no hope, is that what you're telling me?
Not under Potter, no. Mm. I said... A man called Graham cannot win the league. Can't take you anywhere.
You heard it here, guys. Okay, let's move on to Everton. Martha, I mean, I don't know if you're upset or you're happy. Martha. I'm not sure, but...
Why would I be happy? What's there to be happy about?
Tell us how that Everton loss went.
I don't know. I closed my laptop at 2-1. We were like okay in the first half, but the problem, and we've seen, it was the exact same game against Wolves. Like, played decent, went 1-0 up from a corner, but the thing is if you're going to play pragmatic football and you're not going to be creative and you're not going to score goals, then when you get your one goal, you need to defend. You need to not make any mistakes. And both times we've made mistakes. Both of those games were games we could not lose. Even if we don't win them, you cannot lose them. Specifically the one against Southampton, because that's in an even worse scenario than we were before against Wolves. We don't know how to attack without committing all of our players. And even when we do that...
Hey, everyone, come on.
Literally, it's and like even when we do
when
that...
You say everybody, run forward.
I would take that, because even when we do it, they don't go in front of the ball. They just go a bit forward. Yeah, our back line is all the way up at the halfway line. So you've got a player in midfield who's looking around for people in front of them, cannot play anywhere, and if they lose the ball, we have one player back.
Sounds like Lampard.
That is 100% on Lampard. That there is 100% on Lampard. And it's happened... Everyone said, when it went 1-1... And bearing in mind, it was a decent first half. We were actually on top towards the end. Iwobi could have scored, came close. And we went in being like, you know what? That was a decent first half. We come in, and within a minute, we concede from them just switching off. After it went 1-1, every single Everton fan around the world was like,
we are losing this game.
Even at 1-0 at half time, because I saw that you were winning, I was like, you're not winning that game.
We're not winning
because
it.
It's like you've just said, you just don't have your defenders. Some of them are championship quality, let's be honest.
Cool.
But
I don't even think it's our defenders. It's not our defend. Like, I think Cody and Tarkowski have, and Godfrey, in all honesty, when we play with them for at the back, they do a decent job. But if you look at the way that, if you watch many of our games, it is on the line defending. And they do a decent job, but you can't, it's not sustainable to have on the line defending. We concede the most shots out of anyone in the Premier League. Because we don't know how to build, we don't have a real style of play, and we just, our only way of attacking is just, come on everyone, let's go!
Let's go for it.
But then they get there and they're like, what do we do? I don't know, because we've got no creative players. Mm. And it's exactly what happened. It happened from us committing loads of players forward, and if you're gonna do that when it's you cannot lose that game, then you have to win it. You have to win it, otherwise it's on you as a manager. And they did that, they went completely forward, Southampton attacked, we had one player back, Gordon gave away a sloppy free kick, they scored from the free kick.
You cannot give Southampton set pieces around the area because James Ward-Prowse. You cannot give
obvious.
Them set pieces
it's
like
so
that.
Obvious.
That's bread and butter for him.
Bread and butter, but that's what it is.
So, when is Frank Lampard going to be fired? Because this cannot go on.
The thing is like, as much as, and it's not me saying it's not Lampard's fault because you heard me say a lot of those tactics are Lampard's fault. Yeah. However, we've had nine managers in 8 years, basically. You cannot tell me that all of that is down to every single one of those managers was bad. When it gets to this many managers and in this position and our talent is going down and down and down, you know that is not just the manager, that is above.
Do you think the talent's gone down?
Oh my God, yes.
But midfielders, you've got like 100 midfielders.
Not really. Decore is past it, we've sold on Alan. Now we've got Onana, to be fair, yesterday, that game against Southampton, Onana was the only, like, he came off, everyone else was booing, he came off because he knew, he waited until the end, came off and got a round of applause from that hostile environment. That shows you how good Onana was. I think he'll be great, but come the end of the season, Pickford will probably go, DCL will probably go.
They should, though.
If we stay up, Onana, I don't know. Then look at that team and tell me where the quality is compared to 2 years ago when you had. Awobi's good, but I'm Jamari, like, it's not a level of when we
one good game every 6 or 7 games. That's not conducive to stay in a league.
They're not goal, and also where the like solid talent is like some centre backs. It's not gonna get you like goals. It's not gonna get you to stay up. Even if you look in the past few years, like. We've had incredible fullbacks for a very long time.
Seamus Coleman's
still playing, which shows you.
What,
to be fair, Patterson's injured.
Yeah, Patterson's decent.
But again, still, he's so young. He's not there yet. He can't drag you out of a relegation fight. Whereas in form, Coleman in his peak and Leighton Baines could actually drag you out of a relegation fight because they were scoring goals, they were getting assists, Leighton Baines particularly. Even when we had Digne, he was a very good replacement. Mm. And now I think Mikulenko's good, but he's a good defender. He's not creating anything up front. So, but going back to the initial question of Frank Lampard, I think if you look at a club like Brighton, who are basically polar opposite to us in the way their club is run, right? Mm. When Potter leaves, that could easily, if that's not a well-run club, that club falls apart, that team falls apart. When a manager comes into a team like Brighton, they're doing almost 40%, 30% of the work.
Yeah.
Because below that, or above that, you have an academy that's working towards the first team. You have direction of the football club. They know what kind of style they want to play. That feeds into their academy, that feeds into their scouting, that feeds into even when they're hiring a manager. They knew what kind of manager
they wanted.
And when they get this, and when they get their new manager, it doesn't matter because all their players still fit into a vision. So whoever you get, as long as that manager fits into that vision, it doesn't matter if those signings have come from a different manager because it still fits into the vision. When you're coming into Everton Football Club right now, you're not doing 40% of the work, you're not doing 30% of the work, you're doing 100% of the work because all of that is so mismatched. You're working with players from 10 different managers before who fit into completely different visions at a worse level. And then not only that, it's not only you're doing 100% of the work, you've also got an owner of the club who wants to get involved in transfers, Who remembers the El Ghazi transfer last year? We were in relegation battle and we signed a player because his agent was mates with our owner, and also because they wanted to offset the Digne deal that was done because they wanted to sell a player who was in beef with the manager, and then they sacked the manager 2 days later. So not only are you dealing with 100% of it, you're actually dealing with 120% of it, 150% of it, because you're actually having to correct people above you's mistakes as well.
You can tell Lampard's balding, his hair's
I don't think Lampard is a good coach. I'll be honest, I don't think he is a good coach.
It's
I don't think
he's
a good manager. He's got some decent, like, he can come in and have some decent vibes and get everyone going.
Everyone respects him because he was a player.
So I think he does a decent job in some ways, but he's not like a top class manager. But someone, the Athletic reporter for Everton, when Lampard was coming in, he was on like a Twitter space and said, like, in all honesty, whoever comes in, it does not matter because this club is a mess. And if someone who knows what's going on is saying that, you know, it's a problem. So
but I thought you can't afford a sack.
Not really.
They really can't. They really can't.
What happened financially, you can't.
What happened with the fans and the director?
Oh, man. This club, like... the thing is, we never do things normally. We never do things like... We are in our banter era, but we have been for like 10 years. And it's one of those things, like, everyone's saying about Chelsea now of like, you know, when one thing goes wrong, everything goes wrong. Mm. Like, this has been us for 10 years. We cannot just sit quietly and lose. We have to do it in a way that is embarrassing. Like, when we lose... derbies, we don't just lose them. We lose them by Pickford hitting it into his own net in the most ridiculous way. When we lose a game, I remember there was a game, I think it was against Wolves, we lost 3-1 and it was like, all right, whatever, like it's a 3-1 loss, whatever. But in the like 89th minute, a cat comes on the pitch and they're all chasing around the cat for 10 minutes. I'm like, I don't know what it is about this club, it's cursed. When we have a problem with our board and our directors, we don't just like protest. Someone gets her in a headlock. Are you crazy?
A headlock?
A headlock. Yeah.
I thought it was fake. I honestly
told them don't turn up.
I scrolled and I was like, yeah, that's a joke, because obviously they'd said Everton had released. Yeah, so yeah. I thought, okay, that's a good joke. And then I saw it in the Liverpool Echo. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
This
and have we just see things embarrassing.
Them chasing Anthony Gordon.
Yeah. It's embarrassing. And like speaking to Serena. And I get fans' anger. I really do, because this is a club where you look at last season. We fans dragged this team through relegation. Right, we made sure that we did not get relegated, and we have not been repaid. They sold our best player, Richarlison, which they had to do because of their own financial problems. They did not replace him. We're halfway through the January transfer window. And we still have not replaced Richarlison. Mm. Fans deserve way better. Like, we've had 10 years of this.
Wait, don't you have Mope?
Mope?
Oh, Mope. Come on now. It's not a fair comparison. Come on. You see that? Come on now.
Brighton told him to bounce.
You can't just pull up the player. Come
listen,
on.
I beg everyone to watch the Wolves highlights, yeah? Because Wolves gave the ball to him. He was in a 1-on-1, basically, but like... a bit further than the halfway line. 5 players caught up to him as he was jogging through slowly. Yes. He's like, nah, he's not what we need.
So
him.
Mother, is it over? We get relegated.
Yeah, I honestly think we will. Like, I can't see it. I cannot at this moment. At this moment, I cannot see us getting out of it.
It's
I
really
honestly
tight
think
down there as well.
It's crazy if we lose Everton, West Ham, and Southampton. I think that's the current block.
I don't think we will.
Everton 19, West Ham. 18.
But you look around us, and
everyone's on like 15 points. Or
yeah, yeah. It's very tight.
From 14th to 20th, it's tight.
Yeah. It is very tight. Chelsea in the relegation. The problem is everyone around us have positives. We don't like
getting
right now,
better. Like Wolves is getting better. Like Southampton are getting better.
We don't have the money to buy players, and even players that we just about have the money for are choosing like Bournemouth over us because they don't believe in the vision of the club. No one does right now.
Even Nottingham Forest are looking good.
Nottingham Forest, they've got money. Like
they've all learned each other's names now, and
what I will say is that, and it's sad to accept, and I do worry that, like, and also whenever I set my expectations low for Everton, they go lower. So even if I say, you know what, maybe we get relegated, it is what it is, but I bet we'll do something fucked up and end up like liquidating or something like that. I don't know. I just do you know what I mean? Yeah. I know what I'm gonna like. Yeah. We'll do a Sunderland and get relegated the season after.
Everton would come back.
No, Everton would come back.
If they're not run properly, like how?
We've got
all our investment in that stadium. We're gonna be playing Championship football in a brand new stadium.
Exactly, because you're not being able to fill it. There's a lot of players that will need to get sold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think relegation would be the worst?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Other than financially, and if we make it through financially, if we get relegated, the thing is right now I'm like, even if we survive this year, unless something dramatic changes, this will be our life for the next few years. Do we actually want that?
Yeah.
Like, where is the fun in that? And also, where is the sustainability in that? Sometimes you need a bit of a reset, but
so what we're saying,
I don't know if I trust the board to even have a reset.
Yeah, because I think a lot of clubs, if you don't get back up again in your first season, you can end up spending
it will get to a point where I just want to see my team win.
Yeah.
Like, and if that means winning in the Championship, it might have to happen.
So what we're saying, Championship special next season?
I honestly, at this moment...
You can't be on the Premier League.
I know. Women's football. We have a Gold Diggers WSL edition.
I will be there.
My future
mother
at
Philippa.
No,
yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
If it's both of them, we've got to do the spin-off.
No, but I think... I don't know. I think, in all honesty, like, the way it's going right now is... If we're sat here at the end of the season and Everton aren't relegated, right now I'll actually be surprised. I have started to accept it now. So we'll see. But hopefully.
What a depressing way to
end. I know.
So
welcome to my life, guys. Welcome to my life. In good news, Everton women won today.
Yay! Yay.
That's something.
Shout out to the women.
All right, I think we're going to round it off there. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of our podcast. Please make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us. See you next time.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.